What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, February 8th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
Welcome back, Greg.
Thank you for having me back, Andrea. How did it go? How was Tuesday's show without me?
It was great. Tim Geddes, wonderful. Mm-hmm. I enjoy hosting with him. And you were at some kind of top secret project in Texas.
I was out in Dallas doing voice work for a game I cannot tell.
I saw the photos of your food that you were eating.
I ate a lot of food, too. That was the thing. You know what I mean? I feel like I eat well. You know what I mean? For the most part. Where, you know, I'll do the smoothies in the morning. I'm having, lunches that aren't terrible. Going to Quebec for a week. Coming back from there. Going to Long Beach for a weekend. Drinking my face off there and eating horrible there. Going to it's my body. You know what I mean? I was eating this buffalo chicken pizza, Andrea, at 1:30 in the morning.
Delicious.
No, it was amazing. And it was like, well, I have to eat this because I'm so drunk in Dallas.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I have to eat the entire pizza? I don't know, but I did.
Well,
you know what I mean?
You know, sometimes we make bad decisions at 1:30 in the morning.
I'm not ready to say it's a bad decision. All right. I was also watching this show, Married at First Sight.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Sounds weird.
These people are crazy, right? They meet for the first time and they get married. Jen and I gave it at least 2-3 months. We're smart people. Housekeeping for you. This is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Go to kindafunny.com/KFGD. Give us your questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names, new segments, things that are reactions to the things we said. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. And if you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching or listening later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or podcast services around the globe. Today, brought to you by Pro Flowers and Cherry's Berries, but I'll tell you about them later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. 5 items on the Roper Report.
A Baker's dozen!
I'll tell you what, Milkman, I've missed you. Because even the last few shows I was here for, you weren't doing it. You know what I mean? So Cool Greg's over there composing at the keyboard, making stuff up.
I think people are calling me Captain now.
No, the morning show. Right now, if you're watching live, there's a vote on Nick Scarpino's Twitter if you're called either the Milkman or something else I didn't like, so I voted for the Milkman.
The Commodore, I think.
And now you're the Milkman.
Do you want to add this to the Rover Report?
I saw it earlier. We can talk about it. You want to talk about it? Is it worth it? I don't know. Twitch is changing the way they're doing IRL streams, like the rules for it and stuff.
Well, and they also this, too.
Behavior outside Twitch can now lead to I don't know. What does that even mean?
It's part of their new harassment rules.
So, like, if I harass you on Twitter, I can get banned from Twitch?
I would have to actually read the post in order to be able to answer that question.
Twitch is changing a bunch of stuff. I don't know if it, like, I think the rules about what you can wear when you IRL stream are focusing on, hey, don't be so sexually suggestive and be borderline in a bikini doing stuff.
Hey, maybe
stuff.
Just wear a shirt.
But yeah, how do you feel as a lady, right? Because I don't think it's, hey, don't dress sexy. It's, hey, don't be in your bra, like just your bras, right? I mean, that's what it kind of, because they're talking, like,
it says mall friendly.
I was reading, I saw it from Julia, for who I think might have written it for Polygon. Her Twitter specifically was like, titty, in quotes, titty streamers. And then here they don't use that. They call it bikini streamers and then say, but there's also colorful language to describe it.
It says,
way.
Quote, attire in gaming streams, most at-home streams and all profile channel imagery should be appropriate for public street, mall, or restaurant.
Did we add this as a story?
Sure, this is now a story. Yeah. I mean, we're just talking.
We're talking
it's a
Roper
Report tidbit. I don't know if it's a full blown story.
It's just we have time.
They're changing their rules. I know. They're changing their rules. Okay. Mm-hmm. I know there's clearly a problem they have of super sexual. Like they mentioned in the article I was breezing through, you know, like squats for subs, where, I got a sub, so I'm going to do squats and like turn the camera around and it's my booty. Like, okay. I see what they're working about. Yeah. I think I can still get away being shirtless on this stream once in a while.
Yes.
That's street appropriate. I can walk around the street like that.
Legally, yes.
Thank you very much, Andrea. You might need to be my legal representation when we go to this. But I think that's the same fact. You know, we've talked about it in passing, but if you remember when we went to the Let's Play family reunion, I said, hey, you know what I'd love to see fan art of? The Let's Play logo. What's he called? Leppy or something?
Loopy.
Lupe?
Lupe.
Lupe, the Let's Play mascot, having sex with the kind of funny face.
Oh, yeah. And then you guys got a bunch of really lewd things back,
and I wasn't here the day they went through them on the morning show, and they just showed them all. And so I got an email from Twitch being like,
hey, guys.
Hey. You violated the terms here. You can't show this throbbing dick going into this like smiley face's mouth like you guys did. And I was like, oh, sorry. And they're like, oh, no, we know you know, you're not doing it to be weirdos. Well, you're doing it to be weirdos.
Definitely,
but you're not
weirdos.
Doing it to specifically violate the bans. You know what I mean? That's always been my thing. When we started, there's supposed to be no nips on Twitch.
Yeah.
And so I'm a shirtless guy, as you know. I'd be walking around shirtless quite a bit. Then at some point, somebody in the chat said that got lifted. I don't know. I'm shirtless all the time, and I haven't gotten in trouble for it. And I think you can be shirtless here, but I don't know. I think there's like clear-cut case studies here, right? This isn't like they're not just saying. I'm sure certain people can get away if you're doing cosplay streams or whatever. There's that woman I follow on Instagram and on Twitch, and she does she comes in with pasties on, and then they paint her into amazing outfits. So K-pike she like
fashion. Like body paint?
The
like
yeah, full what's body it? Paint?
K-pike fashion.
That sounds right. Yeah. She does like Starfire or the Joker
herself.
Or stuff. Yeah, she paints herself. In
really
the
incredible
it's
stuff.
It's awesome and amazing. I don't think she's in trouble with these rules. I think it is, hey, everybody, welcome to my hangout stream. Hit the bong. Fucking dicks everywhere.
Hit the bong.
Do they do that? I don't know. Ustream was the big problem, remember, back when PlayStation 4 launched and you get streamed to either platform. Oh. Ustream was the one of like, hey, they're having sex on a couch. There
I remember when the PlayStation the camera, like when that first launched and there was some there were some streams that actually came out of like couples doing things on their, like streaming live from their PlayStation 4 and it became like this whole fiasco.
Yeah.
I think really the genesis behind them putting this, you know, on paper is having a legal trail to be like, hey, if we're going to be banning your channel, if we're going to be taking some kind of action against you, it's because we have that now clearly listed what the parameters are in the code of conduct. I think the one about harassment is particularly interesting, that they are now allowing people to add off-platform conduct to the reports when people make harassment reports for people who are on Twitch. So this, of course, includes race, ethnicity, national origin, religion, sex, gender identity, sexual orientation, age, disability, mental condition, physical characteristics, or veteran status.
Sure.
So I'm glad that they did that because I think it's important for Twitch to remain a safe space.
Yeah.
And for them to have very clearly outlined guidelines. I know most channels have their own guidelines. Like Kind of Funny has their own guidelines.
Don't be a dick.
Yeah. It's a good one.
That's pretty much it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
But some channels don't, you know? And so now Twitch is just kind of putting an umbrella over everybody being like, hey, you have to abide by these rules. And
which makes sense, right? With the rapid growth Twitch has seen in the past few years, they need to get a handle on it. And I know it'll ebb and flow. And so the announcements today, it's one of those for me, and I would assume you too. I haven't seen a bikini streamer or anybody crazy. I know that that's out there.
I would have to hunt them down if I really wanted to
find
one.
And that's the thing where it's like, oh, that's something happening on the peripheral that I'm sure is going to affect somebody and blah, 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 blah. I would have to wait a month to see if it is that all of a sudden we're getting takedown requests because I came in here in a bikini or topless, because I do that sometimes.
I don't know why anybody would want to take that down, Greg.
Thank you. It's art. Remember, if you want to see me topless, you can use your Amazon Prime as a Twitch Prime subscription, or just use real money. If you have Amazon Prime, come over and give it. You're just listening to this podcast later. You're driving your car right now. Well, I'm sorry that your kid had to hear me talk about the Let's Play logo fucking the smiley face, but it happened. They have to learn about oral sex somewhere, and it's Loopy the Let's Play
apparently
logo and
Kind of Funny
Smiley the Kind of Funny smile teaching you about it. Anyways, like I was saying though, if you got Amazon Prime, if you got Twitch Prime, give us that free stuff. Anyways, Roper Report number 2, Kevin. All right, that's all we'll do for you. Google might be getting a game service. This is via the information by way of IGN. Citing sources with knowledge of the project, the service could be offered via Google's Chromecast or potentially even a Google-made console. According to the report, the game streaming service plan, apparently codenamed Yeti, has been kicking around the halls of the tech giant for around 2 years. It also points to former Xbox and PlayStation executive Phil Harrison joining Google last month as vice president and GM as a sign something may indeed be afoot. Harrison also served as the advisory board of cloud gaming service provider Gaikai prior to Gaikai's acquisition by Sony Interactive Entertainment in 2012. What did you take away from this headline that Google's looking into gaming and game streaming? And like, because originally, the original thing I got kicked to, I think off Reset Era or NeoGAF, was like, Google might make a console. And then you jump in, and it's more of them trying to figure out streaming games or something like that.
No, Google's definitely doing this.
Yeah?
Yeah. Like, from everything that I've heard and some of my sources, like, they're hiring people. They're doing something very big in the gaming space, but there's no confirmation yet. I have heard from other sources that they are working on some kind of a box. Wow. And whether it's like, you know, Xbox One and PS4, or whether it's like Ouya, who knows?
Yeah.
But they're definitely working on something, and you don't hire a guy like Phil Harrison.
Unless you're serious.
Unless you're putting some serious money in, right?
How long do you think it is till we hear something official?
Well, I mean, we have a couple places. GDC seems like it would be a good place for Google to make some kind of an announcement. Yeah. It's a developer-focused show. It's right here in the San Francisco Bay Area where Google has their headquarters. A lot of tech and industry people will be here. Feels like the right place. But if they don't announce, if they're not ready to announce at GDC, then we won't see anything till E3, would be my guess. I mean, that said, I mean, we are seeing major announcements now kind of in a coming out of thin air. Like, they're just being announced whenever.
Right.
They don't necessarily need to capitalize on the mass market media wave that is around these large conventions.
And I think a big part of it would be, what do you want to be taken as? Are you, hey, we're Google, we're a household word everywhere, we're super mainstream, so we're going to mainstream consumers? Or is it, hey, we want to be at GDC, we want to be at E3, we want to be seen as a competitor to PlayStation, Steam, we are hardcore video games?
I mean, those are good things to consider. I think what's important to remember is that Google is bigger than everybody, essentially, right? Like, they can afford to put a lot of money into something like a gaming division and then just decide to close it and not care if they, like
Google Plus.
If they lost like hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe billions of dollars in R&D or development, right? Like, so.
Do you think we hear about it this year? The fact that Phil just came on last month would make me think it's still, but it's been kicking around for 2 years. Okay. Last month, Phil comes on. I would think you'd want to get his feet going more. And the other thing is that the fact, and I don't know who your sources are, I haven't heard about it till today. And so I wonder if it's, you figure now they've got to go out and I would think start talking to developers, at which point that's when you'd start hearing rumblings, similar to how the PlayStation 4 Pro, and we didn't know its name back then, but PlayStation 4 Pro, right? Leaked because at GDC that year, people were standing in line talking about PlayStation brought this new PlayStation 4 and it does this and it's blah, blah, blah. And that was how, like, people were starting to see it. So things were starting to happen. I feel like that's usually how this goes.
Yeah, I would guess that they've already been talking to developers and that they've already have some things in place because Google has a lot of existing relationships with certain publishers
Google
already.
Play and everything else, yeah.
So I have a feeling that they're already working on something, but what it is exactly, I don't know. I don't really think it would make sense for Google to get into like a standalone console market when Xbox and PlayStation and Nintendo are so deeply entrenched in that market already. Trying to bring something in to compete with those seems futile to me.
Well, not to mention that you look at what Google does so well. It's all cloud-based stuff. Google Photo, Google Drive, you know what I mean? Like, you think that way. You'd think that would make sense for gaming. But Armando writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, Greg and Andrew. Is it even worth it to create a game streaming service? As we have seen, PlayStation Now hasn't set the world ablaze. Or could Google be the outlier with their cloud computing power that they can actually make this work without the lag or input delay? And, in all honesty, do people actually want to stream and play mobile games in a big screen? Or would Google have the big huevos, and then puts in parentheses, a way to say balls in Spanish? Thank you very much. To court third-party developers to port classic and or newer games to the service. And yes, that's a lot of questions to unpack, but would love to know your opinions on the matter. Praise the chicken, Armando.
Armando, Google definitely has the huevos to do this, for sure. And I think with how sophisticated their Chromecast devices are getting and the development that's happening in the mobile gaming space, that, yeah, there are people that want to stream their mobile games to their TVs. Now, there already are certain ways that you can technically do this currently, but if Google had like a dedicated device and they had a proprietary controller that went with, you know, a game streaming like stick you plug into the back of your TV, I mean, why not?
I mean, that's the thing, right? Imagine if it was the next step for Google Chrome and it was a web-based portal, as I'm sure it will be as well, that you could use on your PC. That's where it gets interesting, right? If, okay, we're streaming I would assume AAA. We're another publishing platform for PC games, but you don't have to have the PC. It's being beamed up to the cloud. It's playing amazingly, and it is that you can play it on your laptop. You can play. You already. I would assume if they're thinking about Google Chrome, Google Chrome's install base must be doing pretty well, which I don't know anything about because when Google Chrome got announced, I bought it, used it once, and I was like, because it was like $35 at launch, and I was like, okay. And I don't know how sophisticated it is now or anything that, but it would be added value to the Chrome in terms of, all right, cool, you're getting ready to pull the plug, you're getting ready to cut the cable, why not get Google Chrome, which is also now a video game system as well.
I mean, I love my Chromecast. We use it all the time. I think you have to get over the idea of, like, sometimes you don't realize how simple it is to use. Like, once you have it installed, especially with the new ones, whenever you're using, like, if I'm at home and I'm looking at something on Chrome or Google Now, like on my phone, it's got like the little Chromecast icon because it's all connected on the sink. Because we have Google Wi-Fi at home as well. And so, like, you just tap the button and it's instantly on the TV. It's kind of like magical in a way. I'm surprised it took me so long to start using it because the Chromecast has been around for a while.
So do you watch your TV through Chromecast too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we can, so there will be certain shows. We were just actually watching, when we finished watching The Handmaid's Tale on Hulu, we were having trouble with the PlayStation 4 Hulu app.
Okay.
And so we pulled it, John pulled it up on his phone and we Chromecasted it through his phone to the TV and watched it that way instead.
Interesting.
So it's also how we watch Last Chance Kitchen.
I don't know what that is.
Top Chef. You don't watch Top Chef?
No.
But you like cooking,
I do.
Greg.
I don't watch TV, Andrea. That's why I was blown away when it was this marinated first sight. I was like, what is this? This is, it's 1:30 in the morning. I'm eating this pizza. I want to watch terrible TV. I'm glad it's still being made. I wasn't aware it was.
I think you would enjoy Top Chef.
Okay. That's when they bring in the good chefs?
Yes. Okay. So they bring in like executive chefs from around the country to all compete to be Top Chef.
Wow. It's why would I watch that when I could just play Battle Chef Brigade?
It's one of the best produced reality series out there. It's phenomenal.
What about Hell's Kitchen? Hell's Kitchen's real good.
Hell's Kitchen, it's like, it's so samey every season.
Shut it down!
I had to stop watching.
Number two. This is a palate cleanser for you, an easy one that you probably already know about, but GTA Online is still fire. Via Twitter over there, Daniel Ahmad looked into the numbers that 2K was putting out, or Take-Two, I should say, and says, Take-Two says GTA Online was the single largest driver of recurrent customer spending during the past quarter. It is confirmed GTA Online will have more content updates, and the game has now sold over 90 million units worldwide.
Slow clap.
Good Lord. Go get them, Rockstar.
Heck yeah. Oh, just as an aside, 55 million Chromecasts have been sold, and there are 1.5 billion Chromecast users, and they exist in 24 countries and territories.
Cool. Google's got everything.
Yeah.
And this is the problem. We're all so fragmented on what we use and how we watch everything else. I don't know. But anyways, finish Red Dead. Number three. My Nintendo Gold points are going to work on the Switch eShop now. This is from Nintendo. Starting in early March, you'll be able to spend any gold points you've accumulated in My Nintendo when purchasing Nintendo Switch software from Nintendo eShop on your device. Or even this website. I was getting this off Nintendo's website. You can pay for the remaining balance with Nintendo eShop funds or any other payment method available in Nintendo eShop. Once earned, gold points remain valid until the last day of the month in the following calendar year. For example, any gold points you earn in March 2017 will remain valid until the end of March 2018. This was piggybacking on concern. People were like, hey, since Switch launched, I've been getting all these points. They're about to expire. What the hell am I going to do with them? And I think they're still going to expire, but now they have a plan at least at Nintendo for you to be able to one day use these in March. Of course, these are earned based on your purchases. Now, I had seen that and put that in there. When we were getting ready to go to broadcast, Crazy Nintendo Fan wrote in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with this diatribe here. And I believe him. I don't know. He has a link here that I didn't see that information on the page, but I was jumping around and I saw it on Reset Era. People were breaking down the European thing of how much you spend to get whatever. I'm going to take it on good faith here with Crazy Nintendo Fan. Keep me honest at kindoffunny.com/you're wrong though. Good day, Kinda Funny crew. This is just my thoughts on the announcement of the eShop rewards program for Switch. I saw some people getting upset about this and just wanted to chime in with my opinion and why I'm okay with it. So people seem to be upset that physical games only get 1% reward credit in comparison to the 5% reward credit of buying on the eShop. When you buy a game on the eShop, usually the same price as the physical release, that money goes straight to Nintendo and keeping the eShop server running, I imagine. But when you buy a physical game, that money has to be turned over for producing the physical game and packaging for it, as well as whatever shipping and percentage from the sales the store you bought it from makes. So to me, it makes sense to incentivize the people who are giving you a greater profit margin. Editorializing ahead, he says. Also, if you are so concerned about physical releases, you probably don't even use the eShop that much and prefer to buy physical and Nintendo rewards, usually just being the price down close to what I could pay for the used physical copy of the GameStop, so my rewards go unused. Okay, I think I understood what that he's saying there, right?
Yeah.
Okay, we're all on the same page. Mm-hmm. When I buy an eShop title, it's usually something like Celeste or Blossom Tales, games without physical release. So if I use rewards, it's usually for a virtual console game or a theme. So I hope we soon get rewards of that nature on the Switch. I would love to hear your thoughts on this. Hope to hear you on the show. Crazy Nintendo fan.
I think this is a very reasonable point of view, crazy Nintendo fan. I don't think it's you're proposing anything crazy. I think that, yeah, you should get a bigger reward if you buy directly from Nintendo. Is that controversial?
I mean, if you like physical stuff, yeah. If you like having that collection, I guess. If you feel like that's the way... I mean, for most people, that's the way they bought Nintendo games so much. And when I was getting DS and 3DS things and opening it and seeing the My Nintendo rewards in there, I never got motivated to go use it because it was like what I asked. I remember being like, what do I get with this Altano? And like, oh, sometimes a hat. And I'm like, all right, fuck it. No, don't need that.
I mean, that's a good point as well. Like, we're talking about, you know, such a small amount of money here that's potentially being lost.
Yeah.
That I don't know why anyone would make a big deal. Also, like, Nintendo has absolutely zero obligation to give you anything after your purchase.
Sure.
You know, the fact that they're doing a reward program in general is great. It's like, you know, I don't understand why people are upset.
People just want it to be even, but I understand Nintendo is a business trying to incentivize you to do something. It's the same thing we deal with on Kind of Funny all the time, right? Like yesterday, Greg's Comic Book Club episode 1 went live as a video and MP3 over on patreon.com/kindoffunny. And people are like, oh man, but is it ever coming to podcast services or YouTube free? And I'm like, no, like this is incentivizing you to hopefully go to Patreon and give us a dollar. That's all it is, a dollar. You know what I mean?
And you guys set it up that it was going to be exclusive to
format. But there are audience members who can't afford that, and it sucks for them, and I get that. But those are the business decisions you have to make at some point. And so this is an interesting way, as usual, to see how any big publisher deals with brick and mortar, but having their own space. And that, you know, that's been the thing where, you know, what was it? Vita games were like $5 cheaper for a while on PlayStation Network. And then all the stuff we were talking about, you know, Monday or last week with, you know, Xbox Game Pass, where, okay, these European stores are like, we're not going to carry Xbox anymore because they're not going to buy our used games if they can go out there and get it. And we're on that bleeding cutting edge right now, right? Of like, how's everybody going to deal with it? It'll be interesting to see if there's any blowback from anybody about this, but I sincerely doubt it because you can't ignore how great the Switch is doing and that everybody wants stuff there.
Yeah.
Number 4, I got more Quantic Dream news for you, Andrew Renee. They're being investigated, apparently, for the use of public funding. I got this via WCCFtech.com by way of Reset Era. They had to translate it because it was in French, obviously. Today, news of more troubles have appeared as the Paris Council issued a hard-hitting document titled, quote, on the toxic corporate culture of Quantic Dream, end quote. During the session of February 5, 6, and 7, under the proposal of Counselor Danielle Simonet from the left party, Jen's not here to correct me, from the left party, the Paris Council chastised not only the dreadful photo montages that circulated within the company, but also their extremely questionable termination procedures and the excessive pressure from overtime or crunch. The council now wishes to be informed of the amount of public funding received by Quantic Dream. The idea is also to introduce a reimbursement clause so that companies who fail to respect certain work conditions might have to pay back the funding they had received. We have posted the entire document below and translated for you as per usual. I'm not going to read that all to you. That's a great summation of them looking into this on top of the heels of everything that happened with the harassment allegations, to which, I guess while I was out this week, and I don't even know if it got really widespread, WCCFtech.com had another statement from Quantic Dream about everything that's going on. That reads, since January 14th, 2018, Quantic Dream has been made the subject of a veritable smear campaign by a few media outlets based on slanderous remarks whose reliability and origin of the sources raise questions. We categorically refute the allegations against the studio, its employees, its leaders. We hope that these unfounded attacks and the propagation of completely erroneous information resulting from it will cease in order to protect our employees. We reiterate to date, we have not heard of any complaints of harassment and discrimination. We confirm that two employees who entered the industrial court in 2017 were dismissed of all their claims by judgment on January 19th, 2018, and that a third judgment in this case is in dispute. Several other legal actions are also underway to defend the reputation of our studio and to save the jobs of a French SME in the forefront in its field. We are confident in justice and hope that it can be decided quickly in a calm and peaceful atmosphere. So that's still raging over. The hits keep on coming for Quantic Dream. I didn't realize. I mean, it's interesting, obviously, whenever there's a video game news story that I think crosses an ocean, right? Where you don't get the updates. We get the, hey, here's what's happening. There's these harassment allegations from these papers. And then we did it. Quantic Dream had a statement immediately, and then it's just been something in the background that Detroit become human comes up in conversation, like, oh yeah, and then they were dealing with that, and we were talking about, I think on Monday again, harassment allegations and how, you know, innocent until proven guilty and all that stuff in the news lately. It's interesting to see that even though it's cooled for us and I don't think we're talking about it or getting as many updates for it, still going on that they put out another statement that I totally did not hear about, and then on top of that, they have the Paris Council looking into them with this document.
Yeah, the allegations are clearly something that's going to be really difficult for us to have insight into because we just don't have access to those court documents or that testimony. I think it's important to kind of take a look at what the Paris Council is chastising them for. Dreadful photo montages that circulated within the company, but also their extremely questionable termination procedures and the excessive pressure for overtime or crunch. Now, that's something that you don't want to hear from a developer at all. So the fact that they are looking at that and saying we might have to, you know, introduce
reimbursement strategy,
a clause so that if we find out companies are doing this, then they have to pay us the money back.
Yeah.
That's troubling to hear that not only are these, you know, there's harassment allegations that are being decided, but also now they're being looked at for these termination procedures and excessive overtime or crunch. I mean, crunch, obviously a widespread problem in the video games business. So it's always troubling to hear this kind of news. Like, there's no way to talk about it in a positive way.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, you hope everybody's that it can be taken care of, that, you know, you want all these companies that make products we love to take care of their employees the way we'd want to be taken care of if we were working there. And so now we just have to wait and see how this all shakes out and see. There was no statement as of me putting the other report in terms of what they thought of this Paris Council thing, but we'll keep you abreast of the situation as we go. Number five, this is a short one from IGN. Overwatch's content patch is like leaked or some shit. Overwatch's Lunar New Year event, Year of the Dog, has been announced with over 50 seasonal items and 6 new legendary skins to look forward to. But more details have come to light after the patch notes were leaked, revealing the legendary skins for Mercy and Genji, which we already knew about, as well as Zarya and Widowmaker. The details were posted on Reddit after the patch notes were mistakenly put on the official Overwatch website ahead of time. As I stumbled through those names, you can tell I don't have much to add to that. So just a heads up, if you're into Overwatch and want to know everything that's happening in Year of the Dog, you can go do that.
Also, I'm not sure if you guys covered it
yesterday,
but the Gaguri news about being the first female player in the Overwatch League. It's very exciting. Hooray, congrats.
Yay.
It's not technically official.
What is happening? I don't know anything about Overwatch League.
So essentially there was a really prominent female player who looks to be signed to a prominent team to become the first female player in the Overwatch League.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's Which not team? Official yet, but
So these are rumblings right now.
Yes.
Gotcha.
Sources close to ESPN have told
me. Oh, ESPN's reporting on it. All right, here we go. All right, good. Well, good. Maybe when it's confirmed we'll talk about it, all right? I'm not gonna be a rumor mill around here talking about Gurguri and them out there in is Gurguri's main Zarya.
Yeah,
is it really?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, that's awesome. Wow. I just went to the whatever. Andrea, Overwatch has got Year of the Dog coming, but it's so far away. I want to know what games came today to the digital mom and grop shops. Where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily show hosts each and every weekday.
It's Thursday, so get ready for your Nintendo rock block of a million things coming to Switch and slowly choking the platform to death. Sid Meier's Civilization 6 Rise and Fall DLC is out on PC. How do you say it? Aegis Defenders, you think? How do you say that one? A-E-G-I-S.
Yeah,
Aegis. Aegis Defenders is out on Switch, PS4, and PC. From here on out, until I say another platform, this is all coming to Switch. ACA Neo Geo 2020 Super Baseball. Aperion. Cyberstorm. Arcade Archives Crazy Climber. Atomic Run Gun Jump Gun. Disc Jam. Mercenaries Saga Chronicles. Pick a Pix Deluxe. Premium Pool Arena.
What is that?
The Men of Yoshiwara Kikuya.
Brittany's been playing that game.
Really?
Yeah.
What is it?
I'll pull up the description. Because
it sounds like something that's crazy enough that I want. Then on Wii U, you're getting Aperion, Cyberstorm, Image Fight 1, Image Fight 2. Let's get away from Nintendo stuff for a second. Fortnite patch. There's been a Fortnite patch released that adds a crossbow to Battle Royale and a bunch of other stuff. But the crossbow is the news everybody's talking about. And then Planetoid Planeteers is out of early access on Steam. You're looking into this Men of Yoshiwara.
Oh, yeah.
Is it quirky and weird? Because it sounds quirky and weird, and I like that.
It's a popular romance game for women. The story, a closed island where baby boys are not born. A unique culture that is completely different from the mainland has been flourishing on the island. In the middle of the island, there's a district where men are gathered. Some women just want children. Others are looking for love. Knowingly deceived by a lie and deceived in return, all in a single night's dream. At the end, to whom is that you will be talking of love? Did you follow all of that? No? Cool. I didn't the first time either. That's from the Steam description.
So this is just a dating sim?
Yeah. So this came out on Steam in 2015.
Of course it did.
But now it's on Switch.
And it's going to sell way more here than it did over on Steam, probably.
Indefinitely,
how's it look? What do the graphics look like? We got some sexy boys? Am I looking at sexy boys?
It's, you know, it's very much in the style of a Japanese dating sim.
I've tried.
4.5 stars rating on Steam.
Had a full boyfriend when that was like leading up to launch. I was like, that is awesome. I can't wait to play it. And when it finally came to Vita and I played it, I was just like, all right. I can't keep going. I respect this game. I'm glad people like it. It's just not for me. I got new dates for you, Andrew.
Okay. I'm ready.
Portal Mashup Bridge Constructor Portal to launch on Xbox One, Switch, February 28th, and PlayStation 4 on March 1. You might say, Greg, did you just copy the subject line of an email? And the answer is yes, I did, because that title didn't make sense to me, and I didn't have time to look at it. So Portal Mashup Bridge Constructor Portal. I think the title might be called Bridge Constructor Portal, and it's a Portal Mashup, or the title is Portal Mashup Bridge Constructor Portal.
It's Bridge Constructor Portal.
Like, you didn't have to say it was a Portal mashup. Like, when you say Portal in your title, I'm thinking Portal.
Yeah, but if you didn't know that it was a Portal mashup game and it was just called a Bridge Constructor Portal, you might not put it together that it's the series Portal.
That's true. And also just confusing.
Actually, it looks pretty neat.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Because you're using Portals.
Yeah, you're using Portals, mechanics from Portal. Yeah.
Just call it is a Portal game coming out. Everybody will buy it. That's all you have to do. It's great. Dragon's Crown Pro is coming to PlayStation 4 on May 15th. Siyum, Speedrunners from Hell is coming to PlayStation 4 on February 22nd. Bear With Me, the noir point-and-click adventure following a young girl and her imaginary friends will arrive on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One in the second quarter of 2018. Vampire from Don't Nod is coming out officially June 5th. The second DLC pack for Fire Emblem Warriors is coming out on February 14th. IGN has this to say about the next Destiny DLC or the event. The Crimson Days Valentine's Day event is returning this year, and Bungie has laid out its plans for the festivities in Destiny 2. A 2v2 Crucible playlist will be at the core of the week-long feature, and the event kicks off on February 13th. Where are you at with Destiny 2? I've been gone, and while they've been doing
Iron Banner, so
they've been putting out. They keep falling on their sword, obviously trying to make this better. Yeah. Where are you at with it personally? Are you like, you still care? Are you still invested?
I definitely still care. I still really like the game. I'm definitely going to get into Crimson Days, but with a lot of these kind of smaller patches that they put out, I don't feel as compelled to get every single piece of gear from them like I do when I'm chasing stuff from one of the major expansions.
Sure.
I'm hoping that they get all their ducks in a row for the expansion that's supposed to be coming in May, because they're following the same cycle they did with Destiny in that the first expansion was kind of a wash.
Yeah, yeah.
The second expansion added a lot of really great content and fixed a bunch of stuff. And I think that they're kind of on that path. The roadmap that they've laid out sounds like they're going to add all the stuff that people really want in May, which still feels a little far away considering how long that game's been in development, but better late than never, I guess.
Sure. Also, while I was gone, did you hear about this Friday 13th stuff? They're trying to switch engines or whatever, so they're totally delaying their roadmap. Oh, the subreddit was a flame of controversy. No dedicated servers yet? Come on! Another Metal Gear Solid... No, that's not right. Another Metal Gear Survive beta is coming to PC, PS4, and Xbox One. It'll be out February 16th until February 18th. Deals of the day for you. Civilization 6 on iPad is now 50% off until March 1st. Tom Clancy's Splinter Cell Conviction joins Xbox One backwards compatibility for 50% off until February 12th. If you already own it, just insert your 360 disc. And is this what people are using to... piggyback off that, like Splinter Cell, like rumblings. Did you see this at all?
Yeah, I've heard about it, and people have been asking very publicly, where's Splinter Cell? Yeah, where's Splinter Cell? It's time for another one. I don't know if we're going to get it, though.
Yeah.
I feel like before we get another Splinter Cell, we would probably get Tom Clancy's The Division 2.
Yeah, buddy!
So
I hope it's E3. I hope they come out and talk about it. I want it. I'd love more Division. Take me somewhere other than New York, you know? Put it wherever.
Yeah.
The Dollar Flu in Chicago. Let's do it. A little bit
more colorful. Is that possible?
Dollar Flu in Las Vegas. There you go.
Ooh, I would be into that.
Right? Yeah. And then, according to Gaff right now, some people are getting the See What's New on PSN email, and there might be a 20% off code in there. So take a gander if you get the marketing emails from PlayStation. See if you are indeed getting the ability to have 20% off something. For now. Let's check in with the listeners. This is where you write in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD with your questions. We read them here. We have a good time. But first, I'm going to tell you it's brought to you by Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries. You know who I love? Genevieve Saint-Ange Miller. You know what she loves? Flowers. You know what I love? Berries. So our sponsor, Pro Flowers and Sherry's Berries, is the perfect Valentine's Day gift for everyone in my life and your life too, because you get to benefit. There's no way you give the berries and flowers to somebody. They can't eat all the berries. You get the berries as well.
It's true.
Go ahead and think inside the box this Valentine's Day. This really is a one-of-a-kind gift. Your flowers and dipped strawberries will arrive together in a beautiful, specially designed box that will keep your flowers fresh and your berries cold, guaranteed. Right now, my listeners can save 20% off any one of their perfectly paired combinations or any other gift over $29 with my promo code KF. Andrea loves these so much, she guilted me into ordering more for the office. So order now before you forget about Valentine's Day. They're good, and the flowers are good, too.
Very good.
Hurry and order today. Valentine's Day is next week. There's only one way to get 20% off a perfectly paired gift over $29, featuring beautiful blooms from Pro Flowers and freshly dipped strawberries from Sherry's Berries. Go to proflowers.com today and enter my code KF at checkout. That's proflowers.com, code KF at checkout. Cool, Greg, you order your mom these yet?
Not yet.
Should do it, buddy.
Yeah,
easy win.
I'll be on some bullshit.
You'll be on some bullshit? What does that mean?
Oh,
you just haven't done it. Be on some bullshit. I didn't know that. Cool Greg's got these turns of phrases.
I'm not hip with the kids either, Greg. It's okay.
Here's what I don't like about Cool Greg being so hip and cool is the fact that it then rubs off on Nick. And today I was having a conversation with Nick about a movie he liked or whatever. He's like, it was this, that, and a whole lot of gang shit. I was like, wait, did you say a whole lot of gang shit? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right. I mean, I know when Cool Greg uses it. That's the thing. It's like, I don't feel like he was using the right context, but Cool Greg wasn't there to fact check. And I'm just like, I don't know if that's how this has got to be. Steven writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can and says, I just wanted to jump off some discussion of Celeste the other day with my own experience. The Chapter 6 B-side finally broke me. I went into one room, died a bunch, left, watched a YouTube video of how that room is supposed to be done, went back in, died a bunch more. I finally threw my hands up in the air and said, well, I guess this is what assist mode is for. I turned on assist mode, set the game speed to 80%, and that made all the difference. I finally got through that room, turned the assist mode options back off, and went on to beat the rest of the chapter. So my question is this. Are there any games you would go back to and beat if you could just skip past that one dumb part? P.S. Greg, assist mode doesn't disable trophies. You should get that platinum and see all those crazy seasides. Oh, that's very interesting, Steven, because I'm playing Celeste on Switch. Big fan. Love it. Tim beat it, and he's doing all the B-sides. He loves it. Have you played any Celeste?
No, I've been watching John play.
He love it?
Yeah, he really likes it.
Good. Yeah, it's really, really great. Would there be a game you'd go back to and if you could skip past this bullshit part kind of thing? Use your game genie. It's tough.
Yeah.
My thing is, I don't feel like for most of the games I just step away from and stop playing, it's not because I've run my head into a wall. It's just like, oh, that's not really working for me. A great example is on this trip, and I'll talk about it on Gamescast today too, so spoilers. I was playing Night in the Woods on Switch because everybody's like, you would love Night in the Woods. You would love Night in the Woods. And I tried it on PlayStation 4, enjoyed it fine, but it was just one night thing, and then the next night played something else and never came back. And so even on Switch right now, I was playing. I'm just like, Maybe I'm never going to be in the mood for this game. Maybe, you know what I mean? For the question, the bullshit moment that stopped you. I remember Deadpool on PS3 was a fun AA game that I was playing through. And then the final level begins and it's so obscenely hard that I sat there and played it for not an obscene amount of time, maybe 30 minutes, but over, restarting. And finally I was like, similar to you, Steven, I was just like, and this is where my Deadpool experience ends. Yeah. I'm not motivated enough to see this through. I was enjoying it up until this point, but now fuck it, I'm out of here.
I feel that way about almost all of Cuphead. If I would love for Cuphead to have assist mode the way that Celeste does, because I think the art and the music and the level design is so great in Cuphead, and I absolutely understand why so many people had it, you know, at the top of their Game of the Year selections. Right. I just could not get past because I got too frustrated, and I just did not want have the patience to sit and learn and memorize all the patterns and practice it and practice it and practice it.
Yeah,
like so many people did, and I know that there's a lot of people that really got enjoyment out of that. But I what I love about Celeste, and I've applauded them for this, is that they've given both options. They've said, yeah, play it the way that we've designed it. Or if you want to just experience Celeste, here are all these assist mode options.
Yeah.
And I really wish Cuphead had something like that. So yeah, I could see all of the different levels and see all of the different bosses and experience the entire game. But I don't think I'm going to be able to get myself motivated to go back and play without
it. I'm right there with you, where I mean, like, from seeing and playing it at events, I was like, wow, this game's beautiful and awesome and all these things. It is not for me. Like, no. I don't like playing games like this to be punished and have to be pixel perfect. And I believe it was Valhalla, right? That I was playing to get the platinum or whatever. Even like, that's a like visual novel, choose your response kind of game. And there's one part to get a trophy where you have to go in and play this shmup. And it gets like painfully, gets painfully tough. And I was like, fuck, why are we, like, I understand I'm the guy breaking the experience right now, right? Because I'm here for a trophy. I don't need this. I don't need to do this.
Right, right.
But like, I was forcing myself to do it. And I was like, oh, I hate this. And that's how I felt playing, like seeing Cuphead. I can just feel it. Whereas like what you're talking about with Celeste, I feel like they do a really good job of even perfecting what Meat Boy was already good at. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, here's the thing you need to beat. You die, you respawn right away. It's all going. And then, hey, you've cleared it. Great. Now you don't have to worry about that anymore. You just have to worry about this going forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, your question, though, Steven, reminded me of Catherine as well, where I took that week off, came back to Catherine, didn't remember how to move the blocks, so I was just stuck. But this wouldn't help me. Skipping the puzzle would have just gotten tougher.
All the puzzles are like
that. But here it comes back. Remastered. Can't wait. Nathan C. writes in to Kinda Funny Games Daily, but he writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, do you guys still make time to try out new indie or lesser known games, or do you find the bulk of your time still taken up by more well-known games, even early on in the year when we aren't yet inundated by huge titles? Aside from Celeste, I feel like it's been a while since I've heard you guys talk about smaller titles. Not that there's anything wrong with loving Monster Hunter World or Shadow of the Colossus. Just curious about how easy or difficult it is to manage your time when you own your own business. Thanks. Have a great day. Your friend, Nathan.
Great question, Nathan. Yes, as much as possible. Obviously, we need to balance it because most of our audience, and I would guess most of the best friends, want to hear about the bigger titles,
sure,
than they do about a game they have probably never heard of. And that's why, you know, indie game coverage is so sparse. I actually was talking about this on Twitter today with Tom Olay, who runs Evolve PR, about how they did a study of some content on a site and found that only 7% of the content included references to indie games, which somebody replied, wow, that seems high. which is crazy to think about 7% being high, but we get inundated with press releases and pitches for indie games. I mean, I have to go through and clean out my inbox for games and from publishers or developers that I've never even heard of daily, because I get so many requests for me to talk about these games, and there's just not enough time in the day to even look at every single pitch, let alone play all of these games. And, you know, I'm not so far into Tim's camp where he's like, get all this crap off the platform. I think, you know, that they should be able to get their fair shot if, sure, you know, if they've put time into making their game.
He's not calling all indie games crap. He's just saying you're releasing a lot every Thursday, Nintendo.
Correct. That's a good, you know, disclaimer to make. But I do like to be able to give, you know, some spotlight and some share of, you know, the coverage to smaller titles, you know, when it intrigues me and when I'm, you know, like interested in them.
For me, I think that is what you're talking about, is what's great about people who are either work in the PR industry and are great at their job, or devs who know the space of personalities, where they'll come to you with, hey, this is something that applies to you, Andrea. This is something that applies to you, Greg. Because again, yeah, you open up our inbox and it is, and they're all form press releases. They're announcing this date for this game you've never heard of, and you don't know what it is, and I can't even fucking tell you if the Portal game is a Portal game because it's Portal in the title. It is the way, like, and I think, like, I, you know, Way of the Pacifist, I talked about coming out of PAX, PSX, because it was a game that came through with a more general press release, or I thought. Archived it, didn't give it a thing. And then the woman who I've worked with for years, who's doing PR, popped back up and was like, hey, I know I haven't heard from you in this title. You really need to book it. It's a game for you. Like, this is something you'd actually really, really like. And I went and saw it and I was like, yep. And I'm totally in. I'm going to talk about it when I get my hands on it, all these different things. It is that balancing act, though, of if I only talked about indie games or what I was going off and playing, like, it could work. It works for a bunch of people, I'm sure, on YouTube and podcasts, but that's the audience they've cultivated. Mm-hmm. Or the audience we've cultivated is PlayStation, right? And Xbox or Nintendo, you know, console people, and this is what it's all about. And so I still try, but I've now gotten to the point of just wearing it on my sleeve of when people hit me up and they're like, hey, even if it is an email, like, hey, Greg, this game's really cool and blah, blah, blah. Hey, can I give you a Steam code? And I'm like, no. Like, I'd love to. It's very similar to how when we started Kind of Funny, I felt so bad and I had to get used to it. You don't answer every email and you don't respond to every person, and it's impossible to, because I would just never get away from my computer and never get anything done.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing here of I've taken enough Steam codes for games I think look awesome and redeemed them and then never played them because I don't play Steam. I don't use my PC that way. So it's like when this comes to a console, when it does this thing later on, I'll totally be there. But I have 13,000 things loaded up on my Switch, on my Xbox, on my PlayStation that I need to play, and that would speak better to the audience I've cultivated than jumping in and trying this. And of course, there's the breakouts. I mean, like, Emily is Away is amazing. We had to play that. And there's things coming down the pipe right now that I know, oh, that is a PC-only game, but that would really work for me and who I am, and I want to play it. But it's a balancing act of trying to figure it out and how to make it all work.
Absolutely.
But I think, again, for me personally, that's where the Vita and the Switch come in. Where it is, okay, cool. And I've said it a million times, so I won't say it now. But hey, I'm on the road, so I'm going to jump in and play this. Or, you know, I'm at home. Yeah. But, you know, I finally got home last night. The PlayStation 4. You bet your ass I fucking booted up Monster Hunter and ran around and did shit. We're doing a Monster Hunter dinner party tonight. We're insane people. Neil writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea. On Tuesday's show, Andrea was asking who wants the big third-party games on the Switch when you can play them elsewhere. Though she acknowledged she sounded like a computer game snob of yore. Obviously, given that Andrea has the systems to choose from, she should be going to Super Ultra HD with all the flops. I'm just writing in to tell you that there's a market for them, and I'm in it. I have only owned one system per generation, since I don't want to miss out on the magic and polish that system is always a Nintendo one, including the Wii U. So sorry, sir. I still follow games on other systems. I listen to games podcasts on my way to work. I watch some Let's Plays on my lunch. So I loved being able to play Skyrim after hearing about it forever. Doom was fun, and I'm looking forward to Wolfenstein 2. The games I like control well or have fun stories. Graphics are nice, but to a point. As long as you can tell the enemy from the background, I'm good. If Call of Duty comes to the Switch with down-res graphics but plays well, I'll play it. If it turns out it's using good graphics and as a crutch to hide poor mechanics, I'm out. I thought that was an interesting follow-up. But I did see a couple things in there of like, hey, hats off to Andrea for being like, why would they do... Oh, I sound like a PC person.
I told Tim I had this revelation that if I think back to all the times I've been talking about third party on Switch, I was like, I have become the people who are the PC master race.
I have become death.
I'm sorry.
It's okay, Andrea. Don't worry. The R phenomenon. Writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, I've been excited for Yakuza 6 ever since I finished Yakuza 0. Recently, the game was delayed to April 17th, just 3 days before the release of God of War. Don't you think that releasing the game so close to another platform exclusive like God of War will seriously impact the sales and media coverage for the game? I mean, how many guys in games media will want to commit 100 hours into Yakuza 6 when God of War is releasing the same week? Keep up the great work.
I hate to tell you, R9 phenomenon. Yakuza is going to get steamrolled by God of War. Like, that's just what's going to happen. At least in North America.
Oh, sure.
Outside of North America, who knows? Like, I don't know, like, how it's going to go in Asian territories where Yakuza has performed better. And this is me very much treading into your wrong territory. But I don't see Yakuza 6 as competition for God of War.
Well, that's my stance on the matter is, sure, there's going to be somebody who has to make that choice of, ooh, God of War or Yakuza. I think the audiences are pretty different to an extent. And I mean, that's a weird thing to say because it's a PlayStation exclusive. But even with that, people who play Yakuza, and I've, you know, reviewed a bunch of them, I love Yakuza games, I feel it isn't the breakout success. Yakuza 0 did way better than I think previous Yakuzas have. Again, it was PlayStation 4. There's a big install pace. People really liked it. I don't know if that was going to translate over to Song of Life doing super well or being like the Persona 4 Golden or Persona 5, you know, jumping off of that. I think Yakuza 0 gave a lot of people their first taste of Yakuza and they dug it. I don't know if they're hungry for more. I don't know if they're super into more. I think the Yakuza audience that loves Yakuza is going to buy that on release day. I think the God of War audience is going to buy that on release day. And also, you're talking about, you know, you're worried about guys in games media. I'd worry about the girls too. Just kidding. You know, 100 hours into Yakuza. I think God of War is a shorter title. Like, I think God of War, I forget what they've been saying now, and I don't want to get into a you're wrong. I want to say, you're wrong. Tell me what Corey's been saying about how long the game is going to take.
Didn't realize that Yakuza 6 is already out in Japan.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's a game that you're going to, I think God of War, you can sit down and I would assume over a weekend or a few nights, at least a week, beat it. And if you want to go back and platinum and do all that stuff, you'd be done with it. Whereas, yeah, Yakuza always is. Now I want to go just fucking to the batting cages. Now I want to go to the maid parlor or the, not maid parlor, but you know where you go talk to the girls that aren't your girlfriend, but they act like your girlfriend. Can't remember the name of those, but it's like a maid cafe, but it's not a maid cafe.
Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong.
No, well, yeah, I guess that's, I'm not wrong. I know I'm saying the wrong thing. I've played Yakuza, God damn it. Go to the karaoke bar and stuff like that.
Whatever, Craig, you're a fake gamer guy.
I am a fake gamer guy. I've never played a Yakuza or God of War. I love Crash Bandicoot though. So I don't think you have to worry too much. I don't think Sega/Atlas are worried about it either. That they'd be super worried about it either. Let's go to Dan. Dan writes into kindoffunny.com/kinda. I was looking ahead to see how many questions we had. I'm still shaking off the vacation. I guess it's just work trip rust.
Yeah, take your time.
He wrote into kindoffunny.com. I put out a lot of questions today. A lot of good questions from everybody. I think I'm going to make this the last one though. That's what I'm checking. Yeah, we're going to stop here. So Dan gets the final take. He wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hello, KFGD. Long time, first time, and all that jazz. I have a question that's coming a little out of left field, but I'd like to get your take on it. A little while ago, I saw that IGN released a Snapchat mini story. Heads up, that's the world we live in. A while ago, I saw that IGN released a Snapchat mini story titled along the lines of the top 7 LGBT games that you can play right now. And I gotta tell you, I was pretty dang disappointed. They were all pretty much dating sims. No hate against the genre, but I can only play Dream Daddy so much before I get the craving for a heavy hitting game. My question is, when are we going to finally see a true AAA experience that can have a more centralized LGBT relationship? I know games like Mass Effect and Dragon Age have that option, and I heavily applaud them for that. But there are other games like Final Fantasy that I think would be extremely interesting if they had an LGBT relationship, similar to something like Titus and Yuna. I know I'm probably a minority on that, but as a gay man, I think it would warm my heart to see a large developer make a mainline LGBT romance an integral part of the game. Makes me feel some more inclusion, you know? Now, maybe the romance is dead in most upcoming games, lack of romantic focus, but that may be one of the reasons for the lack of LGBT appearances. Or is the world just not ready for something like that? Sorry for the long question, but thanks for reading it. And if you don't, no biggie. Still appreciate everything you do, smiley face Dan.
Dan, I'm with you. I would like to see more. I just don't think that you're going to see as much as you would like because there's just not that many games that do romance as like the centerpiece right. of their game, no matter what kind of romance it is. So I think that's why there's just so few of these things because a lot of AAA video games are so focused on action and narrative based around action
right.
and not narrative based around like intimate moments and romance.
And that's the thing. Even to turn on its other head of like, sure, don't get me wrong. There's heterosexual relationships in every fucking video game, but it's the one of like, who are the couples in heterosexual couples that stand out where it was like, wow, that was super powerful out of left field. I would make the argument that Nate and Elena get there in the end. Like, I think that, you know, like, I think the way Uncharted 4 ends it, but in Uncharted 1, it's so Indiana Jones that it's just like, it's not like, oh man. I mean, I really like them together, but I don't think it was like a critical, we're going to hang our hat on it theme of the game, right? It was that Nate and Sully were up to shenanigans and running around and Elena was in there being a character, but I think, you know, the reason you're seeing so many smaller games, right, indies like you're talking about, Dan, tackle it is just because they have a better capacity to tell those stories, right? I would think if Tacoma, like the gay relationship in that for the two lesbians, or Gone Home even, right? Or then
Life is Strange Before the Storm,
right?
Great, like, relationships in that game.
Yeah, those are games though that are more about, right, like, boom, here is the story.
They're,
and the story is a personal adventure, and it is the relationships between everybody. We're even having Ellie be gay or learning about her sexuality in The Last of Us Left Behind. That goes through and influences how we see, you know, Ellie in The Last of Us the first time around when we didn't know.
Right.
But again, that's about trying to survive in the clicker and the relationship between Joel and Ellie, which isn't romantic.
Exactly. I mean, even a game like Overwatch that has, you know, LGBT characters, sure, that are very prominent, you know, obviously Tracer being like the cover star of that game. But like the point of Overwatch isn't relationships. It's,
right,
it's combat. And so I think that's why you just don't see these at the forefront, just because so many video games just, like, the relationships are a backseat, which is why BioWare games are at the forefront of really showcasing, you know, different types of relationships and why they're always lauded for that. And yeah, they are probably the best example, which you've already given.
I feel like the rock is rolling down the hill and it'll be a boulder before you know it, right? Or like, okay, cool. It isn't a big deal that that sounds weird. It wouldn't be, I don't want, when they do a AAA, I want to get to the day where we have a AAA shooter or whatever and the main character is gay and that's not like the headline. That, holy shit, this new Call of Duty campaign features this guy who's gay or whatever. And it's like, no, that's just one part of this mosaic of this guy who's running around shooting 3,000 people and blowing things up and flying into space or whatever the hell it is. But I think you're there as you see smaller indie games get there. But yeah, I guess that the top 7 LGBT games you can play right now, that just puts it into a category where I think sexuality is the forefront of it. And I don't think you see AAA games doing that, right? In a lot of ways. There's relationships, obviously. I'm thinking of Witcher. That whole thing with Triss. Who's what I picked, of course, because that's the right thing. Yennefer, no thank you. Didn't like her style at all. I digress. We're with you, Dan. You'll get it. You'll continue to get it. It'll keep changing. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. Everybody befriends you on whatever it is. They play the game with you. Everybody has a good time. Today, Charles Jacobson has written in. He needs help on PlayStation 4. His PSN name is Dezuro. Dezaru. Dezaru. Remember these in the descriptions, apparently. I'll believe it when I see it. Greetings, Greg and Andrea. This is an unusual squad up, but the Horizon Watcher Palico set event ends in Monster Hunter World today. So I wanted to use this as a reminder and as a way to offer my help if anyone didn't get there yet. Dropping me a tweet at JC Jacobson. But it's JCJAKOBSEN is probably the easiest way to get a hold of me. I have 174 hours played of the game so far, so it's not going to be much of an issue. Sincerely yours, Charles J. If you need to go get that Horizon stuff, which I do,
I'm still working on it.
Which is why I have Grimecraft and Kevin coming over today. Jen and I are making our delicious roast chicken, and then we're all just playing Monster Hunter in the living room together.
Hello.
You want to come over?
I can't. I have dinner plans.
What the fuck are you putting your hand up? Oh, you want to join the group party, though?
Yeah.
We can do that. Okay.
Jeez.
Calm down. Can we have some fun here?
Yes.
Let your hair down, Andrea. Jeez.
It is down.
Everybody hit up Charles J. Again, I'm not going to say it again. Just find him on Twitter. Put it on Reddit or something. Andrea.
Yes.
We ask everybody watching the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames or write into kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screwed up. What did we screw up today?
There's like 3 from yesterday.
Okay. Don't read them. It's gone. It's too late.
Yeah.
Yesterday
Sorry,
was yesterday.
Guys.
I'm not going to be punished because Gary Whitta doesn't understand how many states there
are. Is that a thing?
No, that's not a thing.
Okay. So there's 1, 2, 3 from yesterday. Sorry, guys. This one says, skip this if you want. Okay.
Don't mind if we do.
Ignacio Rojas, I agree. I almost corrected him too. Greg repeatedly talked about buying and using Google Chrome. Chrome is a free web browser. Chromecast and Google Chrome are 2 different Google products.
It's true.
It's true. I don't know. Okay, I'm going to read this, but I'm not quite sure where it fits in here.
Okay.
Xanthar Sarah says the NVIDIA Shield tablet has Twitch built in and you can stream all the mobile games you want. The Shield tablet uses Android as well, and you can actually stream games from your PC as well. So I could see Google doing this as an add-on for Shield to set-top box that connects to the TV, which also uses Android. Here's the thing, though, is that the Shield connects to... the Shield is much more expensive than Chromecast is, unless they've dramatically come down in price. I have a Shield tablet that's in a drawer at home.
Not getting that much use, huh?
But I think that what we're talking about with Google, like when we were hypothesizing about what Google is doing, is a much more dumbed down and much easier for the vast majority of people who play mobile games versus people who are looking to stream their PC games.
Sure.
Would be my guess.
But we shall see. Go get him, Phil Harris.
Lord of Pwn says the patch and content update for Overwatch are already live. And this includes the Year of the Dog event.
Thank you very much. Just trying to make you feel included, Overwatch fans. But from here on out, fuck Overwatch. We don't talk about it.
Kitten Tactics says what we called Aegis is pronounced Aegis.
Well, get a better name for your game and then you won't have this problem.
Vin Zombie says premium pool arena is basically just billiards. Thank you.
Did we talk about this?
Yeah, it was in the out today, I think, and I was like, I had been like, oh. Ooh, what's that?
It's billiards.
Lord of Pwn followed up on what I was talking about. Gaguri, she's a great South Korean tank player. Zarya play is especially great. The rumor is that she's signing with the Shanghai Dragons, though no official paperwork has yet been filed with Overwatch League.
It's cool people are talking about this.
Yes.
I don't know anything about it. Esports escapes me, but I like that this is like a thing people are talking about and ESPN's reporting on.
Yeah, it's great. Okay.
She probably can't drive.
Oh, yes, this is a good noteworthy thing to bring. Lucar Wolf, Final Fantasy Pocket Edition out today, iOS and Android. Chapter 1 is free to download, with chapters 2 through 10 sold individually or bundled together. For 19.
Saw Brittany 99. Trying to play this, but forgot her headphones. That's the deal.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We had the fantastic Kim Wallace on the show last night, and she talks about it on What's Good, which comes out tomorrow morning, if you guys want some impressions from a hardcore JRPG fan.
Where does that come out?
It comes out at whatsgoodgames.com/podcast. You can find us on podcast services everywhere you find Kinda Funny, and one extra place. You can find What's Good on Spotify.
Which is huge. I wish we'd get on Spotify.
Yeah.
It's but you, I think we had a Twitter conversation about this.
We
not
did.
A real conversation. That was interesting, where you use the Libsyn or whatever, right? Just for Spotify.
We upload to Libsyn only for Spotify.
I should look into that.
Yeah.
We'll
talk about it after the show.
Okay,
I'll show you what to do. Okay, here we go. Lord of Pwn, the PlayStation email with the 20% off code was sent out last Friday and is titled brackets PSN name. I would imagine that would be your PSN name brackets. Yeah. See what's new this week. It expires February 12th at 11:59 p.m. Pacific time. Big Daddy Wolf, I see what you're writing. And to that I say, GTFO.
Oh, look at that. They're sharing secrets.
No, he's trying to sass me in the you're wrong.
You don't like getting sassed.
Mm-mm.
You're too busy for that.
Lord of Pwn says, Corey said God of War.
Oh my God, Lord of Pwn
is
all over
25 to 35 hours long. He said this at PSX.
All right. So that's dev math. So assume 20.
Vin Zombie, Yakuza 0 sold over 500,000 copies in Japan and Chinese speaking regions as of June 2015 and 7.5 million globally as of the same date.
Very good. Very good.
TG Burt says, Titus is pronounced Titus.
I don't care. Final Fantasy dorks. I refuse to accept that one. I'll name it. I'll call it whatever I want. Give him a real name, like Cool Greg.
Capitalist Pig follows up with some additional God of War versus Yakuza numbers.
Okay.
Saying as of 2012, which is the last time Sony released numbers, God of War as a franchise sold 21.65 million copies worldwide. As of 2016, Yakuza as a series has sold 9.3 million. Mm-hmm. So I feel confident in my assumption that God of War will steamroll Yakuza.
100%. But I don't think they're... they're competition because they're on the shelf at the same time. Yeah. But I don't think they're really competition.
That's what his question was asking. Like, you know, like with it being so close together. And I was like, I don't think God of War cares that Yakuza's coming out. Yakuza should care that they've delayed now into God of War's window.
Okay.
Because it was supposed to come out earlier.
Of course. Yeah, yeah. It would have had a better shot, obviously. Or more. There's going to be people turned off by the fact they're buying God of War.
Yeah. And that's it.
If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Each and every weekday on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. But before answering your questions and everything else, you submit at kindoffunny.com/KFGD. If you like that, head over to twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. You can watch us live there. Even if you don't, we'd love it if you subscribe. You can head over to youtube.com/kindoffunnygames. Subscribe there. Watch the YouTube videos. Enjoy yourself. The PlayStation VR show is coming up this month. When? I'll have news soon. And then remember, you can download the show on podcast services around the globe. Tomorrow, Tim Geddes will join me. But for now, it's been our pleasure to serve you.